Look, I look like I've been crying now. What the hell? Anyway, the gas is really expensive here now. So.
Because of what's going on in Russia?
I guess, right? It has to be.
Yeah.
And, like I said to my son the other day, I'm like, I'm going to go check my balance on my accounts. And I pulled up my TD. We have TD Bank.
Okay.
Pull it up. There is no bank accounts to be had. I'm like, oh my God, because my card was just hacked not too long ago. I'm like, oh my God, my card has not gotten hacked again. But come to find out, I guess it was like a whole bank shutdown thing.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like across the nation?
Because I said something to my son, and he's like, oh no, because he uses some kind of like one of those online banking things.
Okay.
And he goes, oh no, my bank was down too. Maybe Russia. I think. Look, I got something to take care of that cough. Some Fireball.
Dude, I have some of the... Fireball is one drink that you try one time. And you have like an incredible blackout. And that's it. You don't drink it ever again. At least that was my experience on it.
Really? Yeah. That for me, that would have been probably been Jack Daniels.
Oh, okay.
I drank a fifth of Jack Daniels.
Whoa. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 19. Yeah, I was young. I was like 18, 19. That was California times.
Okay.
Yeah. My girlfriend, her mom was like really cool. Like she would let people, like we could come over and like party and drink and stuff. Cause I think you had to be 21 there, at that time. And, yeah. Oh, it was terrible too. Cause they had a picnic. I ate like deviled eggs and shit. I was on the floor. I fell asleep on a cold tiled floor. Yeah. Yeah. Off of, Satakoy Street. Yeah. Off of Satakoy Avenue or street. I was on it. I was laying on the floor.
So what city was this? And what year?
Canoga Park.
Oh, Canoga Park.
Canoga Park. Oh gosh, I would have been like 84, 85.
Back in the 80s?
Something like that. Yeah, Back to the Future time. Is that when that movie came out? 1985?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, those good old times. That's probably why I'm hacking and coughing.
Still hacking
all that
and coughing.
Debauchery.
40 years later, coming up.
Yeah, I know. You don't think about that stuff when you're younger. You're like, oh yeah, just one more, like whatever. Oh boy, I'm telling you. That's why they don't have septum piercings from the 80s. None of us can have. None of us can get them. We don't have septums.
Just after that, all
that coke.
All the coke.
Yeah, blew them out. Blew them out with all that blow. Like what? You can't get no septum piercing, lady. You even got. You don't even have anything left. I'm just kidding.
Pam, how have you been?
I've been doing wonderful.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I've been doing okay, you know, just trying to kick a little bit of, cancer and, lost my mind a couple times, lost some friends because, you know, I think when you're given, and it doesn't have to be like cancer, it can be like anything. I think when you're given like a choice in life, well, no, that's not a choice. Fuck it. Never mind. Say I hit this pen. I can't talk right. I think when you're faced with, like, I don't want to say life or death, but I think when you're faced with that kind of shit, you reassess your life is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And there was, like, people, I don't even know why. Like, why are you still around me? I can't be friends with you anymore. Like, legit. I mean, I was honest.
Yeah.
You know, and I told them why. I'm like, you know, this is why, because whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they just couldn't accept it. So I don't want them to change. You don't have to change who you are.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I just, you know, that's the way it's going to go. I can't be friends with you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, that's a sign of wisdom, right? Like, I mean, think you're putting yeah. you're putting your own energy and your own, you're putting yourself first before
yeah.
having to deal with anybody else's bullshit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I wish I would have known that a lot younger. My daughter knows that a little bit. I mean, they're not like, they're just in their 20s, you know, mm-hmm. they don't know everything yet, but they're a lot more stronger than I was, you know, not that I was weak, but they're a lot more knowledgeable about how to deal with their head, you know, mentally and how yeah. to use their words, you know.
Well, it's a generational thing that's yeah. happening. Right?
Yeah.
Like yeah. Back in your 20s, was there a big buzz about mental health or,
just mental health.
Right? Mental health in general, yeah.
Mental health. Quiet Riot sings that song. Go ahead. Sorry. Mental health. Go ahead. No, there wasn't. No.
Uh-huh.
It would have been taboo.
Why do you think
if you did go to a therapist yeah. back then?
Oh, why do you think it would have been taboo like that? I mean,
I think I don't know. It's just a generational thing. I don't think like if people like I know there was a couple of girls that got pregnant in high school, and like they got stashed away somewhere. Like all of a sudden, it was like, oh, look at Becky over there on fucking pom poms or whatever. Like, oh, look at her belly's getting bigger, and then. All of a sudden, like, Becky disappears.
Oh,
and then
shit.
She shows up. Yeah, and then she shows up next year for school. We're like, whoa, Becky, what the fuck happened? I had a stomach with high risk. I'm like, oh, boy. I believed these people. I don't know if her name was Becky. I can't remember. But yeah, you know, a couple of them did. But probably those hardcore Catholic people. I shouldn't say that.
No, but, you can say that. You know, I mean, are you wrong?
No, because I used to stuff them away back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm going to go to the lady place, whatever. What's the nun place called? God.
A church? I don't know.
Not the church. Not a monastery. That's for the guys. Oh. What's the lady?
They have a lady one? That's the...
Yes. I got to Google it. I'm going to Google it right now.
Okay. Church.
Where do nuns live? That's what I need to know. Your son probably knows this.
Where does nuns live?
A convent. I just remembered it.
Oh, okay. Convent.
Yes. Oh, I don't even know. Now I don't even know what we're talking about before that. But
a nun is historically a female who lives in a... Okay. This one's... Google says in a monastery convent. Who has been chosen to devote her life to prayer, service, charitable work. She usually takes a vow to live a life of simplicity and chastity. Ooh, well, chastity, that's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that life.
Yeah. That's insane.
I'll just be over here sipping my fireball. I don't even like this stuff that much. It reminds me of I got like a bowl that I just, like when I go to the liquor store,
yeah,
I just buy like random airplane shots. So I kind of like when people used to have Skittles parties back in the 90s. Do you know what a Skittles party is?
Nope, you got to tell me.
Oh, it's when you would go to a party and like just all inside of the party in the bowl was like just pills. Like all just pills, random pills.
Oh.
They could be oxycodones. They could be Benadryl. They give me Tylenol. They could be like barbiturates. I don't know. What is a barbiturate? I don't know. Remember learning that stuff in health class. Yeah. But anyway, they used to call them Skittle parties. So you'd walk in and it'd be like a bowl of pills.
Just a bowl of just random pills. Hold on. I got to fix my headphones. My headphones are tripping right now.
Oh, boy. I'm glad it's not just me having troubles today.
No, because my...
You know, I almost wore my MTV t-shirt.
Oh, okay. I know. It would have been an MTV episode.
Yeah, now I like hate myself for that, but that's okay.
No, that's good. Next time.
We can twin another day.
Yeah, twin. Twinning.
We can twin another day. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm really stoked that... So I've been waiting for this Def Leppard concert.
Okay. As I can tell, your t-shirt.
And all them. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Def Leppard.
Yeah.
See, I went with Def Leppard because I'm just, now it's being advertised on the radio, so I know it's going to happen. And I'm like, yes.
Where is this going to happen?
At the Citizens Bank field where the Phillies play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll be outside. I really want to go see Elton John, but the tickets for the nosebleeds are $350.
Whoa! Okay.
For a nosebleed.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
So then I thought, like, maybe, like, because, you know, I usually take Samantha with me or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, maybe I could just go myself. You know, I just drive to Philly for the day and whatever, hang out. And then I'm like, you know, I just can't do that. 300, because you know they tack on those fees.
Okay,
so like $400 something.
So $300 is that's like the base price, and then they start adding all these different fees, convenient fee, like, because you're probably buying it online, right?
Exactly.
A COVID COVID relief fund fee. You know they had that fee in San Francisco when I went in August 2021.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had like a restaurant relief fund tax that they put on at the bill. Yeah, it was a weird percentage. It wasn't huge, but it was still like a significant amount for any type of restaurant. Yeah.
Well, how is the COVID there?
It depends on what part you are in Southern California. Like, even like around LA, like Long Beach, everybody is wearing their masks. Even people are in their cars still wearing their masks, right? There's different restaurants. I went to a museum a couple of weeks ago, and they were having people wear their masks inside the museum.
Huh.
But when you move, when you start going further, like towards like San Bernardino area, nobody's... COVID is just non-existent. There's no mask mandates. It's pretty much just wherever you are in the state.
Well, it's a big, like you were saying in your show your podcast, I forget which one it was, but you were talking about LA, and it's very vast. LA County is vast.
Oh, yeah.
It's very vast.
It's huge.
Yeah. Very. Because people are like, oh, well, what county you live in? I'm like, oh, L.A. County. And like, but you lived in the valley. I'm like, yeah, but it's still like L.A. You know, it's just L.A. County. And I think like after you go, I think Simi Valley, like the next valley over, changed counties. I believe so. But don't hold me to it.
Gotcha. I have no clue. I just know San Bernardino County and L.A. County for now.
Yeah.
That's where I stick.
Man. You guys had any earthquakes lately?
If we did, I probably wouldn't know because I'm one of those people that that can't tell if it's like an earthquake or not. Like, I would go into work or just talking to somebody. Did you hear that? And they will ask me, did you hear that? Or did you feel that earthquake at like 3 a.m? No, I was asleep.
Yeah.
I was probably on my phone. I don't feel it.
Yeah.
But they're weird.
They are weird.
Such a strange, weird event that happens to us.
Yeah.
Living on
this ball. I've been through a few of them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm saying living on this ball in space.
You're listening to Magrito Podcast Network. Celebrating the culture of Chicanos and Latinos one story and voice at a time. Listen to more Magrito Podcast Network shows over at magrito.net. Connect on social, on Instagram and Facebook at Magrito, the Magrito Podcast Network.
Yeah. And it just has a mind of its own.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, like, today I'm going to throw an earthquake at you. I used to always think that it always seemed like when it was really, really hot during the day, and then it would get like really cool at night, would be when the earthquakes would mm-hmm. happen. But it's just such a bizarre, like, feeling. And I remember, so then not too long ago, we had an earthquake here.
Yeah.
Two of them. But one of them, remember, like, the Washington Monument got messed up or something like that.
Oh.
From an earthquake.
It did.
But, yeah. And then there was one, I forget where I was at. Let's just say it was in New Jersey. I don't know. It's irrelevant. But I was sitting at work.
It happened. It happened anyways. Wherever you, yeah, doesn't matter where right? you work.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at work and I'm like, what the fuck was that? I just felt, because I've already been through earthquakes. I already know what they feel like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? I yell over to the other, like the attorney across over. And I'm like, did you just feel that? And like, oh yeah. Well, there is construction, you know, and a jackhammer's like boom, boom. I'm like, nah, that ain't no jackhammer. And then, when you know, like 10 minutes later, like Mike texts me, he's like, yeah, man, there was like an earthquake, wherever. And I was like, yeah, I knew it. God damn it. And these people are telling me, like, they thought I was crazy. I'm like, no, that was an earthquake.
Do you get much earthquakes in New Jersey?
No, not at all.
Really?
But just one just ran. No, actually, this has happened to me twice. We were sitting on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to, again, irrelevant, but we used to go to the beach and hang out. And so we're like on the beach. And then it was just a really weird feeling. And it was almost like you heard a sonic boom, but it wasn't sonic boom. And then everybody was like getting up off the beach and buzzing around. And of course, everybody has cell phones. And then we could hear people saying like, oh yeah, there was like an earthquake. I forget where that one was at, but it was somewhere in New Jersey. It was somewhere nearby, you know.
And
I don't
like, what is it? Was it a recorded like earthquake, or it was just weird random thing that just happened that they didn't
know?
No,
I think they recorded it.
Oh, it was?
I think they said it was a such and such. I'm going to have to like look it up now, but yeah. It was weird because we're just sitting in the sand. And it was like, just again, it's just such an odd, weird, feeling.
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon.
You have no control over it. Yeah. It's just like, all right, it's like I watched a mirror. Like, oh, sorry, like you're right here. I'm like, oh, sorry. I watched a mirror like wave on the wall, like it rippled.
What?
It was just. Yeah.
When was this?
And I was sober.
Oh.
When I lived in California, we had a really bad earthquake.
Okay.
And it must have been like a 4 or 5, something like that. I was living in Chatsworth at the time. And yeah, it was weird. It was weird. I got out of there before they had Northridge one. I actually worked in Northridge, like a Great Western Bank.
Oh, before the.
Yeah.
That huge earthquake?
Yeah, remember they had that really bad one?
I don't remember. I was probably not even thought of.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're a baby.
I was not even thought of. Probably not even a baby.
You probably weren't even born.
I wasn't,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
No,
probably
my bad.
Not. What year was that, anyways?
Bad.
No, I want to look this up.
My bad.
If I could get my thing corrected.
Have you tried any new drugs?
Anything new?
Yeah.
Not.
Man.
No, but you know what I've been looking into? I haven't done it yet, but I've been looking into microdosing.
Oh,
I've been doing.
Yes,
I've been
you
doing.
Know what?
I've been doing some reading on that.
I was just getting ready to say that, and actually, I was in such a hurry to get down here, I actually forgot it. But I actually, I was reading an article mm-hmm. and I printed it out because I was going to spit it on my podcast, but I never got around to it yet. But yeah. So you think you would like to try it?
I'm still looking. I mean,
Yeah.
It depends on where you're reading from. I heard it's really good for anxiety. It's really good for depression. It's basically like a component of like caffeine or something. Like I'm in this weird zone where I'm thinking of caffeine as like a drug, because I'm basically it alters your mood, it changes your personality a little bit depending on who you are. But yeah, like there's different protocols that you like when you're microdosing. They have one which is called the Fadiman protocol. Right. James Fadiman, he wrote the Explorer's Guide to the Psychedelic Explorer's Guide. Excuse me. Yeah, he wrote that book, and majority of that book is all like different medical reports that he put together of people taking LSD, taking magic mushrooms, taking MDMA. But the James Fadiman protocol with microdosing is you take, I think it's like a 0.5, like a just a small, like a small smidge of magic mushrooms. And from that, you take it one day, you're off 2 days, and then you take it again. And then you're off for like 3 days. And then you take your dose, and then you just keep doing that. There's other reports of people taking it daily, like once a day.
Right.
So I think it just depends on I guess the person and how it affects you. I think it's so strange, because it's a type of chemical that is very subjective. Like somebody like your experience on psilocybin will be totally different than my experience on psilocybin. So that's why it's hard for any, you know, medical research, because it's all subjective.
Right.
It's tough.
I forget. I was talking to a friend and he told me we were talking about this, and he said, oh yeah, no, I did mushrooms mm-hmm. once, and I had a bad experience, and he goes, I'll never do it again. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But see, I've never had any bad experiences with anything that I've ever done. So I don't know. Like you said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I came to the conclusion that I mean, maybe it's just me, but
yeah.
I mean, it's not like when people say like I've had like very bad experiences on any type of psychedelic or even cannabis. Like I have a close friend of mine. She did one edible and she felt like her experience that she was telling me about, she felt like she was describing like a psychedelic trip to me.
Really?
But it was totally on cannabis. She had a high dose of cannabis, and she never really smoked or did anything like that. But she was experiencing like a psychedelic trip. Like she was telling me that she was, you know, seeing things, and all the walls were moving, like the mirrors were being wavy, and I'm like, whoa, like I wish I can go back and just take some edibles and feel like I'm tripping.
Yeah. I don't really but you know what? I have smoked. So the first time that when I moved to California and the boy next door turned me on to the California stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we went to go see A Christmas Story. That movie just came out.
Oh, that's
cool. And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm so cool. Yeah, I'll smoke your pot. I smoke weed. And I was like 18, whatever. And little neighbor boy asked me for a date. So we smoke this weed, and I am like, I'm hallucinating. I'm like in the movie. Like it was a slow kicker. And then we got in the movie, and then it kicked in. I was like, holy shit, I am hallucinating. But you have to understand, like, I was from New Jersey. They didn't have that kind of nice bud, you know.
Yeah.
As Spicoli would say, but.
Yeah, but back to microdosing. It's It's still, I mean, it's still considered a Schedule One drug, according to the FDA. So it's
that's what I was going to ask you.
Hard. I mean,
yeah,
to even look for their stuff, like you're looking at some time in jail, even if you're trying to buy it. Like it's just
right.
The whole thing is just I don't know. It's just nonsense. It's like
they're mushrooms, like growing in the ground.
Exactly. The mushrooms were here before any of us.
Yeah.
The mushrooms were here, and the cannabis plant was here before anybody even thought of making laws or anybody thought of making any type of government. It's just silly.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
And they probably have something that cures cancer, too, that grows. But we're not allowed to have it. We don't even know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started exploring with that kind of stuff. I've never done it, but I started reading up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Only because you know, when you are like have to take so many medicines and just things, and like they're like, here, you want a painkiller? Do you want a sleeping pill? I'm like, no, I just need to just, I'm okay. I just want to smoke pot.
Yeah.
I don't need your oxycodones. You know, smoke pot. But I just can't even imagine like how it would be if that part of that world, like if weed wasn't accepted as it was, we'd have like even more oxycodone and more pills and more stuff out in the street.
Oh, so if weed wasn't legal?
Is that what you're saying? Because a lot more people use it now to like compensate for, you know, they don't want to take a Percocet. They want to just smoke some pot, or they want to, you know, take a tincture or whatever, edible. So that's what I started, like my one cousin, she had a cancer too. Well, she still does have cancer. And she was telling me about she gets to this place, and I don't know what kind of tea it is that they drink, but like you trip on this tea.
Okay.
And you sit there with like, I want to say it's a life coach, but you sit there with this person, they guide you through your trip. And
what do you know what type of tea is it? Ayahuasca?
Or I don't know. Does that make me hallucinate?
Ayahuasca definitely does. I've never done it personally, but
then maybe it's that.
Yeah, it's a combination of leaves and some tree bark, and the combination between those two ingredients make up dimethyltryptamine, which is DMT.
Oh.
And they brew it. They brew it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she tried to get me to go there, but... Well, so I really wanted to go because I'm really curious.
Should do it.
I don't... Well, this is the thing now, is that at that time, like, I was, like, really, like, on a lot of medicines. Like, you have to quit all your medicine. Like if you're on, for I want to say 2 weeks before you go, no antidepressants. If you have ADHD, autism, whatever you have, you gotta be off all that that medicine.
Oh, that's strange.
Not
I get that. Not strange. Not that but...
And you know, not that I don't mind detoxing off the whatever the Lexapro or whatever, you know, the Adderall, but you know, at that time I was like taking chemo, and so I'm like, I can't stop this stuff right now, you know.
you can't okay,
but I get that yeah, but still, even at that though, I don't know if I want to like quit something for like 2 weeks and then go there all dried out, like you can't, no pot, nothing.
Oh, no. Nothing. No weed?
For 2 weeks.
Really? Mm-mm.
No.
Nothing?
You've got to go there clean, I guess, cleaned out. I don't know.
This is the first time I've, maybe it's just his protocol of how he wants his subjects. to come in and experience that.
But then they sit with you and guide you through your hallucination. It's really weird.
Yeah, I've never.
What if somebody gets raped? I mean, this is the things that I think about. What if I get? I mean, I guess there would be a lady with me, but a lady could rape me. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad thing, but but what if you got raped or something? Or they like stuck things in your nose. What if you wake up and there's like a Sharpie dick written on your forehead? I'm just kidding, but I don't know. You've got to put your trust in like a stranger.
You do. Especially you're drinking something that they're giving you. So
Yeah,
absolutely. You have to research and get to know that person. But even then, like, somebody you know can get a Sharpie and draw a dick on your cheek.
That's true. And stick it in your butt.
It's happened. Like, people are getting Bill Cosby'd out here.
Really?
Oh my gosh. They have this special, I think it's Hulu or Netflix, about Bill Cosby. Dude, this guy was a mad.
I didn't see it.
He was a madman. Like, I thought all this, like, movement of getting him, you know, locked up and everything, I thought that was recent. But this ranged over his whole career.
Yeah.
Decades. Yeah. Hundreds of women.
I do want to see that.
Hundreds of women. It's psycho. But then he had this persona of, you know, trust. And then again, like you're saying about this person giving you weird chemicals that you don't even know like what they are, and you're trusting him with your psyche, with your brain.
Right. But then there's Bill Cosby.
And then there's Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And then there's Charles Manson.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
He had all his followers dropping acid. And
I know.
And he was controlling their minds with LSD.
Yeah. That's weird. So I've been binging, I always binge watch serial killer shit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, for whatever reason.
Wait,
I'm just
hold on before the serial killers. So the Northridge earthquake happened in 1994. I was 3 years old.
Oh,
so it did happen.
Okay.
I probably felt it because I was in I think we were in Whittier, California, so I must have felt it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It lasted 10 to 20 seconds.
Yeah. Whoa. Drop some shit.
Yeah, absolutely. But serial killers.
Yeah. I love watching stuff. So, God, I don't even know where I was going with that.
No, you're binging on your serial killer stuff.
Yeah, and I was watching The Night Stalker. They had him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I remember I was living out in California at that time.
You were?
Yes. Yeah, that was a big, scary thing.
That must have been,
Look, I got to Google that now. Wait, is that the right serial killer? I can't remember.
Yeah, The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like in the late 80s, early 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy shit. But, you know, like, you're like, oh, I live in a valley. They're not going to come down here. But then he started to come down to the valley.
Yeah, he was, like as far as I think, it was 25. First murder? Oh, no, I'm just reading. June 2021 marks 37 years since Ramirez's first murder, or at least the first one that earned him a conviction. Dang.
Wow.
Before he was 26, he killed at least 13 people and sexually assaulted 11. That's fucking
it's
wild.
Weird.
1985.
Yeah, so I was 21, I think. Living in the valley. Yeah, that was weird. So I'm really intrigued with these serial killers. I need to know, like, what goes through your mind that, like, it's just, and what was I getting at with that? I was thinking of someone, being a sociopath. But anyway, it's just so weird. Weird. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of Bill Cosby, how he's a predator. He's a serial predator.
Yeah, basically.
You know?
Basically it's what weird. He was. Like,
what makes you that way?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, did they go behind the psychological whatever of a serial killer in the stories you're watching?
Oh, sometimes they do, yeah. On some of them they do. I'm on a new one. I think it's called The Worst Neighbor Ever, mm-hmm. or something. And it's all these people, worst roommate ever. And it's all these people that live with these certain people. And of course they all end up being serial killers and stuff. Yeah. But, so every time I newsfeed at work, when I pull up my computer, it's serial killer, you know how I don't know, Microsoft or whatever has all the news up there. Oh, five children get stabbed by a mom. I'm these people, and between that and the marijuana, I'm they must think that this chick's crazy.
the FBI looking at your tabs and all the stuff. That
yeah,
you
yeah.
No.
I did go back and rewatch Breaking Bad, and it was really weird because I was going through a really bad time with being sick, and so much of that now, going back and rewatching that resonated. It was really deep. I don't know. It's just one of those things where when you see a series and rewatch it again, and either you're in a different place in time, or there's certain things you didn't pick up before.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's wow, I don't know. I wasn't thinking about, him being sick and stuff and all the things. I don't know how to explain it. I was wow, man, that's fucking hardcore. And then on top of that, he's fucking gangster.
Yeah.
He's taking cancer and, but it was really weird. So I think this is probably the third time I've watched it.
Oh, the whole series?
Yeah, the whole series.
Oh, third
yeah.
time. Okay.
Yeah, third time.
I've considered going back and watching that series.
There was little innuendos, well, not even the cancer. That was really weird. That really got to me somehow. Made me feel really emotional, on some parts of that that series. Because when I watched it before, I wasn't there. But watching it this time, I'm there, and it was it was a little ugly. But where am I at now? I'm so afraid that I'm going to see Mike get killed. I know he dies. But I know it's happening soon because I'm on the last leg of the last leg. So I loved Mike. I didn't want him to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was the grand. He was the I forget his last name.
Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh Mike, yeah. Oh,
spoiler alert. Yeah, Mike dies. Well, it's fine.
Well, see, I just assumed everybody's already watched.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's so old.
Yeah.
It's I get on this train very late. Oh, hey, have you watched Game of Thrones? No, oh, yeah. It only came out 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was with Breaking Bad and Dexter. That's how I was with, because I picked those shows up. Actually, Breaking Bad, I picked up about a month before the lockdown during the pandemic. So I was able to watch I watched it from sun up to sundown right when I woke up.
Yeah.
I just put it on. I was just okay. I was watching that. And then after the Breaking Bad series, do you feel this overwhelming feeling of loss after you watch a really good
yes.
show, and you're just damn, I need something yes. to pick me back up again. That's how it was yes. with Dexter. So after Breaking yeah. Bad, I started watching Dexter, and
right.
Even I need to go back and watch Breaking Bad. Such a
yeah.
awesome series.
I mean, every detail, and just like I said, like, for, I mean, you watched it all the way through, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you have not watched Breaking Bad, you might want to skip this part.
Yeah.
But remember when Jesse's girlfriend OD'd?
Oh,
my. Remember Walt, like, let her die?
Yeah. That was okay. One of the... one... scene yeah. in that movie where it's like, this motherfucker is a fucking fucking nuts. He's goddamn right. lost his mind.
But yeah.
he was looking out for himself and Jesse.
He's seen
her as a threat.
Oh yeah. And the beginning of that episode, it's her and Jesse in the car, and she puts her cigarette out and it's got her lipstick still in the cigarette. And then it was like, oh yeah, she dies. And I remember he saved that cigarette in his ashtray. He wouldn't get rid of it because it was hers. I was like, oh, shit. Now I got it.
Oh.
Picked up his phone down. It was a subtle hint. Like, I don't know. You got to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, that's a little.
There's so many things that are intertwined in it that I didn't pick up before.
Right. Is there any other ones that you can remember? That one's weird.
Not off the top of my head, but I'm trying to remember. Oh, look, listen to this shit. I never even heard Jesse say to Walt, oh, look at Mr. whatever his name is, Mr. White Breaking Bad. Never caught that at all.
Oh, when he says when he says Breaking, okay. I seen that one.
Oh my God, there's the title.
Yeah, I seen that one.
I mean, I know that I probably annoyed my husband because I'm like, oh my God, did you like, like, it's all intertwined. Yeah. I'm like, all right. But, yeah, I haven't really been up to much though, getting back into the podcasting.
Yeah.
And stuff.
How's that going for you?
Yeah. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Just trying to, I have a group of girls that, like, all of us, like, want to hang out and, like, do stuff, but, like, I just want to be outside, like, on my deck and do it,
you know? Okay. Like,
because it'll be
outside on your deck, more room. Like, podcasting?
Yeah. I just take my stuff outside. Like,
gotcha.
Actually, my son sets it up for me. I'm like, Michael, can you set up my podcast and stuff outside for me on the deck?
That's cool. So, I need a Michael to help me.
Yeah, I know.
Set up my
Sometimes
stuff.
My husband, too, I'm like, I need a longer cord. He's like, well, this won't work. I'm like, yeah, sure. But, you know, it just want to be outside. Like, today was 70. It was, like, phenomenal. Tomorrow's supposed to be 72 something. Okay. I was outside today all day.
Oh,
I was out in my yard getting all my flower beds.
Yeah.
My flower beds ready for the season.
It's been pretty cold over here on this side.
Really?
Yeah. Like, 50s, 60s. But all day, like that, it stays like that all day. So the '60s, and barely gets to the '70s.
Yeah, '60s was feeling pretty good for us for a while because it was like 20, maybe, maybe there was a couple, maybe 1-0 day. I'm like, this is just the worst, you know. I can't live like this. I gotta go somewhere warm.
Yeah, we went out to the beach on Saturday and. My girlfriend was telling me, she was like, why in the hell would you want to go to the beach? It's windy. It's this, it's that. I'm like, I love the beach. I just want to go.
Yeah.
And just look at the water. And we're sitting down. She, at one point we're sitting down and she looks at me and gives me like a strange eye. She was like, you know what? Nobody is having fun except for you.
Aww.
She meant it all. She meant it in a super, you know, loving way. She's like, no, I'm fine now. No, it's not too windy, but it was great. And after that, I was like, yeah, you're right. Okay, we'll go do something else then. Yeah, whatever you want to do next time.
My husband's not a fan of the sand.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, don't put those chairs in this car. He was out there knocking every like pellet little. Tiny little green off in the car.
Yeah.
And then Michael will be like, well, we're just going to get in the car and like, whatever, get sand anyway. I mean, just do what your father says.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it. Just do it. Just do it. So anything go, I see that you're back in the game. You've got like a few things going on.
Yeah.
With your people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, like just the podcast or?
Yeah, with the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fixing my space for in-person podcasts. So
nice.
Like I'm create like right now I'm in the midst of creating the set. Like I'm calling them sets now. You know?
Oh. So, I like that.
I'm working on that. Yeah. It keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble. It's something like something that I love doing. Like I like creating stuff. I like talking to people. And all the mechanical, technical stuff that's behind it, it's fascinating. It's fascinating for me. Like, like even if you have like I had like XLR cables that run into the mic, if they're too close to any like type of power supply or outlet, like it gives this weird humming, buzzing sound. Like, I've treated my ears as a part of like an instrument. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that you're like, when you have to do a instrument check, that you know already what it should sound like.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I know. You know when it sounds right, when it doesn't. You're like, what? That's off.
You do. And then especially if
you're... What musicians do.
Yeah, especially and you're doing all this while stoned. Like, you know exactly what you're supposed to be listening to. Hopefully you don't forget.
Yeah. Well, I wish that I could just like leave my stuff up and like, I mean, for the most part, I can leave it up and come back to it. But then, you know, I have to put the wires up because the cats, they're still young. They like to chew stuff. And even if you had a dog, you know, it would still chew stuff.
Yeah.
But it's hard because if you do the in-person ones, then like, all right, you have it for like two people, but then you might have like six people over.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I might have six mics, but to get everybody spaced out, it's then you got to move stuff around.
Yeah.
So
that six people is a lot. Like it's maybe because I'm so used to doing like no more than three people on one podcast, but it's kind of difficult doing more than three. Like, I don't know how some other shows do it with more than three people. Maybe it's just the dynamic of the personalities, but it's even three person for me is kind of, it's kind of pushing it, you know, cause I'm so used to filling a rhythm with somebody talking, but it's now you're adding another person's personality and another rhythm to what you're supposed to be doing. I like
how you nicely refer to them as rhythms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personalities.
Well,
and rhythms.
Yeah, I've well, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off.
Cut me off. You're the special guest.
A few big stop. Yeah, I thank you for having me. Oh my God, it's been like forever.
Yeah, we're 50 minutes in. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I just got sidetracked, but like, what a difference a year makes. I mean, you go from 0 to 60, and like, what?
Yeah, it's literally been a year since we've talked.
And everybody, but it's been for everyone.
Yes.
Not, like, in different capacities. You know what I'm saying? It's not just me. Everyone did in their own way. I just feel like the ocean was, like, just taking us in, ebb and flow, like finally, and just like spit us out. And we're tumbling, like, what the fuck happened, man? Shit.
Yeah.
Here we go, 2022.
It's still wild. I mean, even politically, what's going on in the Ukraine, I honestly, I'm going to be totally 100% honest. I haven't been really following anything. Like, I get the updates on my phone.
No.
I
haven't. I actually hear more about it at work than I have heard it about at home, just because I just try not to watch it. It's not that I don't care. It's just, I don't watch it because I do care. And then I'm like, get all teared, you know, it's just too much energy.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
To, It is. It's heartbreaking. But they're collecting money for them. We were just collecting money for someone what? Not too long ago. Not Ukraine, yeah. But it was someone else. I forget. I don't even like. Does anyone know why he wants to take over Ukraine? Does anyone? I don't know.
He's just a psycho.
I don't either.
He's
I think he's just a dick.
Yeah, he's basically a serial killer, or he's basically a psychopath that has an extreme amount of power over a country, over hundreds, thousands of people.
Yeah. Special spy stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. KBG, wasn't it? It was one of his jobs. Worked for the Kremlin.
Pam, let me ask you this. Pam.
What?
What do you think of lizard people? Think they're real?
Of what people?
Lizard people. Think they're real?
Lizard people?
Yeah.
Like people that look like lizards?
No, like people that...
That they have sex with them? I don't know where this is going.
No one does. No, lizard people. Lizard people. The only reason why I'm saying that is because Tim from Bad Counsel. That's like his favorite line. So I had to ask you what you thought about lizard people.
Lizard people. I know they told me it. I can't say it.
Lizard people.
It's bad. They're bad. Do you know about lizard people?
No. Well, like the QAnon's Capitol rioters and Nashville bombers, lizard people theory is deadly serious. It's just a theory that most of the world's government leaders are actual shape-shifting aliens that are lizards.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what about the pigeons? I mean, they're not supposed to be real either.
We've never seen a baby pigeon before, right?
No, but we've seen baby lizards. So we think that these lizards, well, you know, Jim Morrison sang a song about the Lizard King.
Yeah. Well, he was a self-proclaimed Lizard King.
I know.
I loved it.
Do you like the Doors?
Oh, really? Yes, I love the Doors.
I do. I do love them, but I don't, for whatever reason, I don't have them downloaded on my phone.
No, you need to download
them. I don't enjoy them like that. I got to hear it like in the car or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or in a bar.
Yeah. Oh, especially when Roadhouse Blues comes on in a bar.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Light My Fire will always be my number one go-to karaoke song. If there's a karaoke and I'm there, The Doors are a band that I always go to. Of course. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Robbie Krieger on guitar, Ray Manzarek on organ.
Yeah.
John Densmore on the drums and the crazy Lizard King. These guys were super young in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
Gosh, if I could travel back in time, I'd go to Venice in the 1960s or in the mid 60s and go watch one of their shows at the Hollywood Bowl or at the other fucking show on Sunset Boulevard, the other venue. It's going to come to me.
The Whiskey Go-Go?
The Whiskey, yes, exactly, the Whiskey.
Whiskey? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a decade, well, I was born in 65, but I was just, man, if I'd just been like born 10 years earlier,
right.
I could have been to Studio 54 and hung out with the Doors and probably still have no septum.
Yeah. what was your scene back in the day when you're younger? What was it? Was it disco, rock and roll?
It was disco. Yeah, it was disco. Right when I started the kind, I don't know, like 14, 15, it was disco, but it was also new wave. Like the Cars were the very first, like, I don't want to say the first rock band, but the first like new wave rock band that I ever heard ever. The Cars.
The Cars. Okay.
The Cars. Okay. Never heard of the Cars?
No. I'm.
Okay. Well, if you've seen Why God Put It in Your Life, first of all, put all the Cars in your life, and you've seen the Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. With, and the girls coming out of the water.
Okay.
Phoebe Cates is coming out of the water as a car song.
Ooh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Cars.
The Mind Buzz is powered by Mind Buzz Media. Mind Buzz Media is an on-site video and audio podcast production company. Have you ever thought about starting your own video and audio podcast? Or do you have an existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? MindBuzz Media brings a professional podcast studio to you. Visit mindbuzz.org for more. Okay. Hey, these guys look, these look pretty cool. Early years, 78 through 79. Okay.
Yeah, I was like 14, 13, 14. The Cars. I had some older friends, they turned me on to them. I'm like, you gotta put this album on. I'm like, what?
Oh, they're from Boston.
Yeah.
Okay. Emerging from the new wave scene in the late 1970s, it consisted of Elliot Easton, lead guitar, Greg Hawks, keyboard, Rick Okisek? Mm-hmm. Rhythm guitar, Benjamin Orr, bass guitar, and David Robinson drums.
Yeah. Put it in your life. You might like it.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Man, to go back. So, mine was like more like, it was disco and then it was metal. It was hair metal bands.
Oh, okay. Like who?
Yeah.
Like Quiet. Is that like Quiet Riot?
Twisted Death Sister. Leopard,
okay.
Twisted Sister. Motley Crue. You know, Rat. You know,
all these. Rat. Okay.
Yeah, White, Poison.
White Snake is one.
White
right?
Snake. Okay. Yeah. Warrant.
Warrant. I just have I know these bands, but I
Slaughter.
Can't, yeah, I can't distinguish.
Yeah.
Listening, I know the names, right? But I don't yeah. see that.
Matter of fact, I was just talking to my daughter or something about concerts, and like when you would go to a concert like Def Leppard, we were going to see Def Leppard, maybe it was in 85, whatever, and the opening act for them was Queen. Now, Queen,
what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, at that time, you know, Queen was sort of, again, Queen was a little bit before me. They were in my decade, you know, like Another One Bites the Dust and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they were ending. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were on their way out. So I just wanted to go see Def Leppard. And now I'm like, damn, I can't believe I didn't see Queen because I was out in a fucking parking lot probably smoking some stick-ass weed. It sucked. And drinking 40 ounces because we were just there to see Def Leppard.
Oh, so they opened up for Def Leppard, but...
Yes, because Def Leppard was this new emerging, like, you know, pyromania,
gotcha.
You know. And Queen was kind of like, let's face it, they were on their way out at that time.
Did
you
they
know?
Still have Freddie Mercury as their front guy?
Yeah, they did have Freddie Mercury as their front guy. And probably should have went to go see it, because as I got older, I really learned to... I shouldn't say I learned to... But I really appreciated Queen and the musicality and stuff like that. And at that time, I didn't. I'm like, gosh, darn it. I think the Rolling Stones were another band. I mean, I have seen them since then, but that was another band that we were out in a parking lot, probably, whatever, taking mushrooms or something.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Like, and it was so funny. So I was back to the mushroom thing. So I was talking to my friend, and I'm like, before we were talking about the microdose, and I've said, well, he's like, yeah, no, I'll never do them again. He's like, I don't know how he said he took them. I don't know if he said he smoked them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, man, we should just like put this in our mouth. And like, they'd get stuck in your teeth, and like an hour later, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, Kennett, PA, Kennett, Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital of the world.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Probably has every like really good soil. Soil and the right temperature and the right humidity. That's the thing with those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You drive through there, it smells like poop. I like it, though. I'm like, ooh, farm stuff. I like that smell.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Chino Hills, or Chino just in general, is over here, the area I live. It's just, there's nothing but farms. There's horses, tons of nurseries. I'm pretty sure there's people that grow their own stuff out here.
Yeah.
In this farm area.
Wow. You live in a nice area then.
It's cool.
I mean, I've heard of Chino and Chino Hills, but like, it seems like there was no like ranches and shit in the valley. Well, there was some, I'm lying, but not like that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I walk down the street and I see there's like llamas and like lambs just in people's backyards. It's really? Strange. Yeah. Yeah. Living.
Wow, that's nice.
Living in like the eastern part of Los Angeles, and then coming out here and noticing that there's like no driveways and people have big yards and different chickens and roosters, and it's just
I love that
different lifestyle.
Yeah, I couldn't like hang in that lifestyle. Well, not that I'd be dead or anything, but I don't. It's just I love California, but I think I just probably would have been better off living somewhere else than LA. Maybe when I retire, it was just really I don't know.
Well, especially at that time, right? That you were living in Los Angeles. It was a different time.
Yeah, it was, but I'm still here. I'm like, what? Yeah. I survived.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Like I think about all that stuff.
Yeah, it's good to reflect, right?
Yeah, it is good to reflect. Very good to reflect.
Yeah. The magic mushroom thing. The thing with microdosing is, I don't know, it's just something that people are going to start doing. Like, just like how the cannabis culture kind of like built throughout, the early 90s and the early 2000s, where people just started, smoking pot. Everybody started smoking pot. Now it's going to be like that with different psychedelics. It's going to be like that with magic mushrooms. In the next decade, there's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for the moment where they're going to start selling magic mushrooms just like they have dispensaries.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably be right over here in Kennett, PA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
45 minutes away.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, Google it. I think it's the mushroom capital of the world. I don't think they make this kind of mushrooms, but they will be if they can.
What is it, Kenneth?
They can make some money.
Pennsylvania?
Kennett, it's like Kennett. Pennsylvania. Mushrooms.
Have you had magic mushrooms?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times.
Yeah?
I have. Not in years, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Okay, so how your friend was saying that that he took it once and he would never take it again. So they found they found studies. They're studying rats, of course, in a laboratory, of course.
Right.
And they were giving rats. Well, the census in their study was that psilocybin is not a drug that people can get addicted to. So that's what they were trying to prove with these rats in these laboratories.
Right.
They were, I think they were doing the experiment with nicotine, caffeine, cocaine, weed, and magic mushrooms with psilocybin, the active component in magic mushrooms. And they, all these rats, they did everything. They did the coke, they did the nicotine, and they kept on going back.
Right.
But they found with the rat that took psilocybin, it never went back. It took it, it tripped the fuck out probably.
Right.
And was like, fuck this, I'm not going back to it. So it kind of proved something, at least in that study, that it's not, it can't be addictive. It's all psychologically.
No, right.
It's all psychological. I've had a few friends that have done it. They had really amazing trips, and they're like, fuck that, I'm not going back. None of them were bad, but they still didn't do it because they're like, I had a good, nice, you know, trip, but it's not for me. Like, it was a good experience, but I'll never do it again.
Yeah, I was like just thinking back, like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I gotta like get my LSD tabs this weekend. Yeah. Like, I have to have them, you know? No, it was just like one of those things, like, hey, you want a trip? I'm like, oh yeah, pass them out, whatever, you know? But no, it wasn't anything I ever.
That's how it was for me in my first experience. Well, at least how I acquired them. I had a friend that I used to get weed from, and out of the blue, he asked me, he was like, hey, you want to buy some mushrooms too? And I was just like, huh, that's weird. Okay.
Like, sure.
All right. What's a good dose? And this is way before like I even started, you know,
yeah, I was going to ask you, how long ago was it?
Yeah, it was a few years back.
Way long ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. And this was any time before, like, I tried my first LSD kind of, you know, experience was maybe 5 years before that. But
yeah,
I still didn't know what a psychedelic experience was. Like, I didn't know, like, what happens. Like, for me, I think I just took so little of it that I didn't really get the full effect. I'm like, there was no visuals. I kind of felt kind of funny, but there was nothing. Just it didn't compare to that first magic mushroom experience. Yeah. And after that, I was just like, whoa, these things are. People should know about this. Like, they should know.
Yeah.
And after that, I went on my trip mission, and I did a group of my friends. We'd get together, you know, every so often and have these different experiences. And honestly, it changed my outlook on a lot of different things. In relationships, how I connected with people, how I thought of myself. But again, it's no cure to anything. It's all.
Oh, no.
It's not like, oh, like I took magic mushrooms or I took LSD and it changed my life. Right. No, it showed you. It shows you how to navigate through this world.
Right.
But it doesn't do it for you. And that's the kind of, it takes you outside of yourself to look at what's going on in reality.
Well, that's what those tea joints were sort of about too. Like, you can go there. I guess a lot of people that have dealt with trauma or past things, like, you can go there and I guess not necessarily trip about that, but like work through that trauma. Of course, with your guided trip coaches. But man, that would be hardcore. Like, I mean, I know we all have trauma in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say some are worse than others. But I don't know. There's some shit I just don't want to go back to.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You know?
No, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
But I don't know. But I guess that could be therapeutic for someone who can't break that trauma barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm all for it, you know. Yeah. I didn't know about the microdosing. I just like stumbled upon it reading, upon other things. And I would be open to it, you know.
They even have people that are microdosing on LSD.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. See, now I don't know if I would do that. I'm a little scared about that. I'm not scared, but it's just
what if you take too much?
Right.
That would be my thing. I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna pop this acid pill and go, you know, go visit my family, and then, you know, an hour later you're fucking tripping balls. Right?
Right.
That would be like, my what? Luck. That would be my luck.
Yeah. I don't know how it's manufactured these days. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that would
is
be
it over manufactured.
Yeah, but that would be the good thing about. I don't. It just it's a sticky situation to think about because.
And does it have fentanyl in it?
Yeah, because
that's another thing.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to buy shit these days. Yeah. I don't want to slip it in this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say, that depending on what narrative you're looking into about the war on drugs. But most people, most of like the psychedelic community is saying that if, don't quote me, I'm just a guy on a podcast talking about what I've listened to. If you don't like what you're hearing, then go Google it. But what I'm saying is that if you decriminalize these substances and government regulate them, or just not even regulate them by the government, but regulate them by the FDA to make sure that they don't have any poisons, fentanyl,
right.
Parasites, all these different chemicals inside them. I think that would be the best way to go about making these things legal, is to regulate them somehow, so that way maybe regulate them by doctors, regulate them by therapists, regulate them by psychologists that actually work in this field of people's brains. What do I know? I'm just a guy that loves psychedelics that wants everybody else to have a good experience on these things.
There's something to it. I mean, there really is. I'm not saying it's a cure-all, but like with the microdosing, people were saying that they have suffered from like severe major migraines, and this guy microdosed for a number of like just say months, up to a year, and they were gone.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have to microdose that much anymore. So I think that different things work for different people.
Absolutely.
And that's why they should make different things legal for people.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, psychedelics isn't for everybody.
Right.
Just like cannabis isn't. Yeah, exactly. It's not for everyone.
Right.
It's not. Just like alcohol is not good for everyone.
No. And you know what? I don't even I don't even drink that much anymore. I don't know why. I just, It's not that I don't enjoy it. I actually can drink. Well, you shouldn't drink more when you're out, but I tend to enjoy drinking out more than when I just come home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally get that. You're social drinking, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I used to, though. I used to, like, go through a bottle a weekend, you know, of wine. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going through a bottle a night now. And then, you know, I just, I don't know. I think you change when you get older. I'm just, let me microdose.
Right? Yeah. Let Pam microdose.
Clearly, I was using alcohol to numb some kind of pain.
Yeah.
So I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But go ahead.
This silence brought to you by cannabis.
I know, right? I love pot.
It's beautiful.
I've been smoking pot since I was 13.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time, so, right?
Whatever, 13, take away 56. Is that 43? 43 years.
That's a lot of years.
That's a lot of years. I smoked pot before I had sex.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. So did I, actually. I'm right there with you on that one. Yeah.
I didn't have sex till I was 21.
I actually smoked pot before I went through puberty.
Yeah, that's me too.
That's a fucking wild one too.
Yeah. And cigarettes. Like, yeah, come on, Tina, get some cigarettes for your mom. Out in the woods. Oh my God, terrible. My mom didn't smoke. We had liquor. I don't even know why mom had liquor. She didn't even drink, but I would bring the liquor and they would bring the cigarettes. And I'd bring the liquor in the country crock containers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, how you like save them, like, oh, Tupperware.
The butter. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring some gin. I got some gin in this country crock. Oh, my God. Those were the days, man.
Wait, you put the alcohol inside the empty container of the country crock?
Yeah. Yeah. What was going to carry it into the woods with?
Why didn't you just carry it in a
bottle?
Why didn't you just take it in the bottle?
Because my mom would know the bottle's missing.
Oh, gotcha.
So we pour it in there. But then I was like adding water to the bottle a little bit at a time. And then my mom like noticed because like she actually had a drink. And she's like, why is this vodka, whatever? I'm like, I don't know, Mom. She's like, it's somebody added water to it. I'm like, well, maybe you should ask Michelle. Well, my sister was 6 years younger than me. I don't think that my, 10-year-old sister was, adding water to the vodka. I don't know.
It's the Russians, Mom. They're tinkering with our American vodka.
Oh, my God. I know. The Russians. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. This guy
is an idiot.
I don't know.
Like, you can tell he looks like he has monster all over him.
I don't know.
I know. We already talked about that. I'm sorry.
No, but the Ukrainian, this Ukrainian president.
Very emotional.
Yeah. This Ukrainian, was it president or whatever they have? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm an idiot when it comes to politics, so I'm just naming out my thoughts about this. But then again, I have no clue on what's going on. I have no clue about anything.
Me either. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know. Can somebody please tell me why we're at war with them? Yeah. Not us.
Well, we're not.
Why Russia's going to.
We're not.
He just wants to be a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's terrible.
He wants power.
Now the gas price is going up.
He wants them. See, this is a thing, and maybe you can agree with me, you can disagree with me, but I love how everybody, or not everybody, but there's certain type, not even narrow it down to that, but there are just some people that are blaming these gas prices because of who's in the White House.
I know.
I don't get it.
But it's not.
My thing is, even if it was, even if it was or it wasn't, gas prices fluctuate every goddamn year.
Yeah.
Every other year. Every four. Right. Let's just, even if they fluctuate every 4 years, it it's going to be inevitable.
Right.
And I like how some would automatically blame the president for it. I mean, it could be his fault. It could be. I mean, I don't know. But...
Well, I don't think it's his fault. Look, they've been talking about drilling. Well, I'm going to get sidetracked for a minute. But first of all, I remember gas prices being at $4. But
and $4
it was a long time ago. Right. It was a long time ago. It was bound to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but then I guess they're like, oh, well, he, you know, still buying oil from Russia or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But so was everybody else. So was all the other presidents.
Yes.
We didn't have no offshore rigging oil drilling going on, did we? Were we getting oil from our own people?
I don't know.
Me either.
From Texas? I don't know. Texas, maybe?
I don't think we were. If we were, we wouldn't be in this problem.
Did you say Reagan?
You know what I'm saying?
Did you say Reagan years?
Reagan years.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
Reagan was around when I was growing up.
He was a fucking,
cowboy.
He was a devil.
Yeah, he was?
Nancy Reagan was.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was like, she was the one that did all the anti-drug campaigns.
Yes,
things.
Exactly.
Say no to drugs with the egg.
Yeah. She's the Antichrist. She was the reason why hundreds of thousands of people have gotten locked up because of the stupid
laws. Because of pot. It's just dumb. Back to our president. Now, I don't think it's his fault that the prices are going up. You know, just bound to happen. It was just the right place at the right time. And Russia decides they want to get in a war.
They even have, hold on, I want to bring Nancy Reagan back into this. Did you know that they have like this weird name for her? It's a very sexual name.
What is it?
About Nancy Reagan.
Well, tell me.
I'm going to look it up, but it has to do something with blowjobs.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
She put out?
I think so. I think she was like the...
She blowing everyone? Sorry. Well...
I think she was. Nancy Reagan.
How do you get this name? Loose Lancy?
Oh, no. Hold on, I find it on Jesse's. It has to be so. Oh, blowjob queen Nancy Reagan. Hold on.
What?
Holy
mackerel!
Yes, I'm 18. Blowjob queen.
Great. Watch all this porn comes up. People dressed up like Nancy Reagan.
Oh yeah. Okay, so a firm yet tender sex positive tribute to Nancy Reagan, Hollywood BJ Queen. Former First Lady Nancy Reagan, the woman who repeatedly gave the greatest blowjobs in Hollywood and gave America the Just Say No to Drugs campaign, which ultimately proved far less satisfying.
Wow.
I
want to know what she did.
So do I. Oh, she's sitting on the lap of Mr. T on this picture.
Oh my God.
I heard he had a Hummer, honestly. Poor girl. One cat, really. No, but I heard that, yeah, she...
Really?
Yeah, she blew...
So I was right, she was blowing everyone.
She was blowing everyone, exactly, yeah.
Was she an actress like him? Or, well, he's an actor, but I think she was just a normal person. I don't know if she was an actress. Blowing all Hollywood. Fucking Nancy.
Fucking Nancy.
Fucking Nancy getting it all. Blowing everyone. Maybe she blew Putin.
Maybe.
She should have blown him.
Yeah.
Is Nancy still alive?
No, she died.
She's dead.
She's dead. Yeah. We're allowed to say stuff.
Yeah, she's always so frail and skinny.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tiny thing.
That's
fucking Nancy.
As somebody was telling me about that, and I was just like, "Whoa, this is weird." Well, you think of Nancy Reagan, and you don't automatically think of blowjobs. Now, I think of Nancy Reagan, and I think of going to town on Mr. T.
Ugh.
Or Grizzly Adams. You think Grizzly Adams would have let himself? Adams.
Maybe she did some shows with Grizzly Adams.
I think so. I'd 100% agree with that.
Dan Haggerty. Some crazy ass shit.
I would promote that.
I know. I never saw any other stars. I never brought home any other stars other than... I don't even know if he was a star. Anyway. Wow.
What was your first psychedelic experience like? Like, what was your first time, like, when you dropped acid? Like, how was it? This podcast episode of The Mind Buzz is brought to you by House of Chingazos. House of Chingazos is a Latino-owned online store that speaks to Latino culture and Latino experience. I love House of Chingazos because I like t-shirts that fit great and are comfortable to wear. I wear them on the podcast and to the carne asadas. Click the affiliate link in the show description and use promo code TheMindBuzz. That's TheMindBuzz to receive 10% off your entire purchase. The cash saved will go directly to the Mind Buzz podcast to help us do what we do best, and that's bringing you more Mind Buzz content. Click the link in the show description for more.
It was pretty, well, first I was a little, a little taken back, but my first one was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think at first I was a little weirded out because I felt like I could hear my heartbeat in my body. Like, I can't explain it, but then I don't know. I still, to this day, don't know if those Indians in Chatsworth Park are real or not, but I don't think they were real. I think it was part of an acid trip, but, like, I felt very at peace,
mm-hmm.
like, very creative and very, I don't know, I sound like a hippie. I don't know. I just felt at peace.
So
I've never had any bad ones.
Yeah.
I've tasted colors.
Okay, I've seen colors. I mean, of course you've seen colors, you idiot. Saying. I've seen music. Listening to music. Listening to the Doors. Oh my
really?
God. Yeah. It was back on those first mushroom experience.
Yeah.
I seen the music.
Yeah. You seen the music.
Seen the music. And it was bending weird, like just these weird bends. And a friend, the friend that I had that we were, you know, experiencing this with, and I told him, I was like, dude, has this song always sounded like that? He's like, no,
I've tapped into some music. Look, I'm right there with you because mm-hmm. I'd be like, what? Even like Pink Floyd.
Oh.
Like I'd be sitting there and all of a sudden like, yes. I'm like, where did that come from? Like, no, we took a bunch of, was it mushrooms? Yeah, it was mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Took a bunch of mushrooms, blah, blah, blah. Took a bunch of mushrooms and saw Pink Floyd the Wall. Right, oh, I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Do you know about go ahead.
No.
It was awesome.
Go ahead.
No, it was awesome. Keep going. You're the guest.
Oh, no. Then we went and saw the Led Zeppelin one, too. I forget which. That was a song where it means the same or something. Mm-hmm. Not that good.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know. What was your first trip? You just...
That was the mushroom thing. That was definitely the mushroom thing. But, like...
And what did LSD do for you? Nothing? I mean, not nothing, but...
The first couple of lucid. Yeah. Not as lucid. But the first couple of times that I tried a couple of hits, and it's just weird. It was just... I didn't have this connectedness with, you know, the universe and and all that. I didn't get that strange beam of light of like a diamond shooting through my forehead. Yeah. I didn't get all that. I was just, I felt different. Like I couldn't, you know, drive a motorized right. vehicle correctly. I thought I was in a goddamn spaceship.
But. I think it's because it's all chemicals. Mm-hmm. It's not natural.
Yeah, I mean that was the first couple of times, but the
mushrooms are the way to go.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely.
Yeah,
but the first time I actually had like really monumental type of experience on LSD, it was at night, and I wasn't expecting that at all. And again, it was the same guy. Hey, I got some, you know, I was buying weed off of again.
Right.
And he was like, hey, you want some Lucy? I was just like, what? So like Lucy LSD, man, you want to try it? I was just like, again, falls into your lap. Yeah. When you least expect it. And
yeah,
I think I did like half a tab, and it was at night, and I was just like, yeah, fuck it, try it, you know. And about 30 minutes to an hour passed by, nothing yet. And I was just like, oh, you know what? It's a dud. I laid down, turn off all the lights, and I'm just laying there. I was like, you know what? Let me listen to some music. Maybe that'll do it for me.
Right.
I've always been, I had this in the back of my head of listening to Dark Side of the Moon. I wanted to listen to the full album. Just sit there in darkness and listen to the full album. So that's what I did. And I'm telling you, maybe it was the music or the energy within the music that's going into my ears. But holy shit, man. I lived that whole album. Like,
yeah.
It was strange. Like, when he's talking about the line, like, all you see, all you touch and all you see is what your life will ever be. Mm-hmm. After I heard that, I was just like, holy shit, man. What is going on here?
Yeah.
What is,
and it's like deep.
Yeah, I was just like,
yeah,
whoa, man, holy yeah shit. It's some good stuff. And I only took half a hit, and I listened to the whole album. I was crying, my eyes were just it was deep in darkness. Yeah. Listening to that, it was deep. It was one of the profound experiences I've ever had in my life.
Right. Yeah, well, it's a good thing you didn't listen to the wall. Oh, sorry, the wall where the guy's like, is there anyone out there? And you're like, it's all quiet. And it's like, ah! Like, ah! You know what part of that album I'm talking about? I used to play that like back to back. I still have the album upstairs in my attic. It was like a double whatever.
Yeah.
Folded out to like a wall. But even now, like, if I'm like pretty blazed up and I'm like, have the beats or something in my ear and I'm like, whoa, I never heard that before. Like, you know how like some of the Pink Floyd songs, like they talk in between.
Oh yeah.
And he's like changing the channels on a TV.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, like look around like, oh shit. Yeah, that's right. It's just Pink Floyd. Just talk about like.
Yeah, especially
15 channels of shit on a TV.
Especially in Dark Side of the Moon, Dark Side of the Moon when he says, like, they call you mad even though you're not mad. They want you to tell you why you're mad when you're not. And I was just like, whoa, like, I'm losing my fucking mind right now.
They have some really profound, deep lyrics. Yeah, they really do. You know, it's just, I do like LSD. Like, if I'm going to go to a concert or something like that, I can do LSD. Mushrooms, no.
Yes. See, that's the thing. I've only experienced them just like in a very soft setting. Like, just, you know, me and no more than three other people just sitting. It's not really I've never had that type of experience. So maybe that's something to look into, to going outside and in a concert or something.
To a concert. I mean, I could probably do LSD.
If
I just did a little bit. Because you're not like all high or trippy. You might see some waves, like trails or something.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go. I remember one time my girlfriend, when I lived in California, her name was Tangerine, believe it or not. We called her Tangy. Yeah, her name was Tangerine. And her boyfriend was in a band, Mad Whip Thunder. And she's like, hey, you want to get these mushrooms? I'm like, yeah, we're in there. And I don't know what it was, but it was the troubadour, first of all. And, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever been in a troubadour, but it's very small in there. It was just weird. That I want to say maybe I could have been deemed a bad experience, but I think that was more just my anxiety and claustrophobic. It enhanced it. I'm like, oh. And my other girlfriend started throwing up. So then it just made the whole trip she's like, I knew I should have eaten. I'm like, great.
I knew.
My girlfriend, Kathy Hernandez. I have tried to find her on, you know, like, certain people you've had friends with.
Oh, yeah.
And then you try to, like, find them. I haven't been able to find her. I mean, I knew she got married. I can't remember the guy's name. There's like 5 trillion Hernandezes. You know, it's like Miller. It was like 50 trillion Millers. Can't find her, but she was cool. She's throwing up. Threw up those mushrooms.
Isn't that funny how long ago was that? And that was that's some experience that you kind of remember her by.
Right? Mushrooms. It was all good stuff, though. That was like 1980 again. That was Night Stalker time. 1985, 1986, 1987. Can you believe that? Fucking Night Stalker was like right there. Richard Ramirez.
I like how you just timestamp like a timeline of a certain decade and
with a serial killer
and attach it to a serial killer.
I know.
Like Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was another one.
Oh, I think that if I was old enough when Ted Bundy was around, like my girlfriends and I, like, we've all been raped. We all would have been. I didn't even think he was that hot looking, but I guess apparently he has some kind of aura.
Really?
About him.
Yeah, he was like super, super intelligent. He was like a law student. Yeah, he definitely yuppie. He was a West Coast yuppie. He made yuppie even cooler than it was supposed to be.
Yeah. We all would have been banged and dead.
Super, super intelligent, very sociable.
Charismatic. Yeah.
It's so funny because a lot of people think that, you know, oh, you're a serial killer, like you must be smart or some psychic, you know, not psychic, but some psychological thing going on with you. But some serial killers can be that way, but most of them can be very unintelligent and dumb and and smart. Like, not all, I think that's just a fallacy or something that people tend to believe is, oh, all serial killers are intelligent. No, some are dumb.
Yeah, some are. Yeah, well, this series that I'm watching now, like My Worst Whatever Neighbor, or roommate, it was like this really sweet grandmom. And she was like, she's done a lot of things, but I guess the last thing that she got away with is she was renting out rooms to, I'm going to say like to people, not like a halfway house, but the people that had like learning disabilities and okay. stuff like that. Yeah. They're like too old to be in one of those schools. So they sent them to a boarding home while she was boarding them, but she was collecting their social security checks, regardless of how small they were, and like drugging them with like, I don't know, like no hardcore like drugs. And they found like bodies in the backyard. They like, they were digging stuff up and it like looked like leather, and it ended up, it was the flesh. It was the flesh that was coming off the bones that was like petrified because it was like down south and it was warm. So it just like tanned like leather. I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. This mama. I mean, you don't hear about, so this is what intrigues me too, is you only hear about Ted Bundy, you know, Richard Ramirez, mm-hmm. Charles Manson.
Yeah.
The other dude, the Gateway dude, the guy that had them all lay down with the drink, the Kool-Aid, put the little things on them, wearing the Nike sneakers. Jim well, Jones? No, that was oh. Jim Jones. Yeah, Jim Jones was a punch, yeah, okay. a Kool-Aid drinker. But the other guy, the bald guy, said they were going to go to outer space
oh,
or something.
Oh, yeah, I know.
His fucking name.
I don't know his name.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Bald, what do we Google search? Bald.
No, he was the Gateway.
Gateway.
Yeah. He was the Gateway.
Gateway God. Cult?
What was his name? He was like all spaced out looking. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, how, like, he did. He looked like he was all spaced out looking. God darn, that makes me mad.
Marshall Herf Applewhite Jr.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They made them all wear their Nike sneakers and lay in bed. So here, the spaceship is coming down to gather us.
We got all buy Nikes.
Yeah, all buy Nike.
What was the story behind the Nike thing?
I don't know. Maybe he just liked Nikes and he wanted everyone to match. I don't know. When we all off ourselves, we all gotta be twinning. It's a good thing we didn't wear our MTV. I didn't wear my MTV shirt.
I would not drink anything that you give me. Except for that Fireball.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you unless you're wearing Nikes.
That's fucking hilarious.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. Maybe you can find out why Nikes, but I think they were Nikes.
39 people in a mass suicide in 1997. The 90s yeah. were a weird time.
Yeah.
I mean,
the 90s were a blur to me.
They're like here, like this, with Marshall Herf Applewhite and the like the Columbine thing and what was that? That thing in Texas? Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Waco, Texas.
Waco.
That guy.
Yeah.
Oh, the something Krish, David something.
David Koresh.
I'm gonna lose. Koresh, yeah.
Yeah, he was another guy. David Koresh.
But those people like that, they have to have like, they're like those charismatic,
exactly,
like,
yeah,
people that are just narcissistic and just that so deep into it.
It's sad.
Like, I don't think I can lead. I'm not going to be like, hey, yo, come hang out with me. Live the laws of the land like me. I mean, it's just bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's sad because these people could have used their charismatic personality for the good.
Oh yeah,
of humanity, whether it be anything yeah. small, large, or like even like a local level or state level, or even you know anything that will attract a bigger population. Like, it's sad because they use all that for that, like for Waco, Texas, for not for Columbine, but for the space Apple White dude.
Yeah.
Jim Jones. Like all these characters, they had all this power and all this charismatic capability. And to use that what? To kill people?
Right. I remember Jim Jones. I was a kid. I just remember hearing about that on TV and stuff like that. And I remember being a kid and them letting go of the Iran hostages, like the airplane flying in and letting down the Americans. It was just really bizarre, like when you go back on life. Like, I feel like now, and I'm not even going to say like it's like a cancer thing about reassessing life, but I think when you get in your 50s, I think you just go back and you start reassessing life. And you can either mourn that shit that happened in your life, or you can just move on. And I've been going through some mourning stuff, like, you know, just maybe childhood trauma stuff, you know, like talking to my son one day. And I'm like, you know, I was talking to my therapist today, and somehow my folks' divorce came up because my husband bought me an Ancestry.com thing, right? And if you already heard this on my podcast, I apologize. But my folks' divorce, like, popped up somewhere out there in California, got divorced. And I was like, wow. Now, I know my parents are divorced. I'm fucking 56 years old. I know that.
Yeah.
But for that one second, I was like, whoa. Wow. It was like, it looks foreign. But it was real. And then I remembered, like, when my folks were getting divorced, they sat me on my dad's lap in the courtroom and asked me what parent I wanted to live with. And I was like,
yeah.
And, but see, I didn't realize how deep that was until, like, now that I'm in my 50s, I'm like, wow, that was pretty fucked up. Could you imagine sitting your kid on someone's lap? Like, not even sitting a kid on the lap. Having the kids sit in the courtroom and look at both their parents and like, all right, you got to pick one to live with, you know?
For the rest of your life until you're 18.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but it's all been good. It's all been growth. It's all been stuff that has had to been dealt with, you know? Wasn't that bad, but I don't know. I don't know. At least none of them were serial killers.
That's like, I don't even know what to even think. How old were you?
When what?
When
My folks got divorced.
Yeah.
I was 9.
You're 9.
Wow. I was 9. My sister was 2. It was 1973. Yeah. Crazy. Now, I'm pretty sure, maybe, hopefully, in family court, they don't do that shit no more. Mm-hmm. But
who knows?
You know,
we're in wild times.
It's really weird. So I've been going through this again. Don't know. I'm not going to say it's the cancer. I just think it's just stuff that I've had to deal with. But it's all been good. It's just stuff that you're like, whoa, wow. Wait, well, that was fucked up, you know, like,
yeah,
if you deal with trauma, like I use humor all the time and that's how I've dealt with my trauma. I've learned that as I've gotten older, that's my whatever. But you have to take time to deal with that mess, because if you don't, you'll be 56 like me and be like, what? They sat me in my dad's lap and asked me who to live with, what? You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's really weird.
When you're 9 years old, you don't really, I mean, consider that. It's just something that's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't, there's no, like, time to actually really reflect on that. And it's a muscle too.
No.
Like reflection is something that you learn. It's not something that just, you know.
Right.
But can you, I mean, that's part of facing a lot of trauma. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to sit there, or not even sit there, but you have to really contemplate on these very traumatic, you know, events that have taken place. And most people they don't want to do that because it's trauma. It's like, why am I going to go back to something that has hurt me? But it also gives you like this weird little power that you have over that. Like, of course it's happened. Yeah. It's happened and there's nothing you can do about it. The only thing that you can change right now is your reaction to that trauma.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you were said, people don't take time to reflect.
Yeah.
When do we take time to reflect? I left a really bad relationship. It was very abusive. It was very hard to get out of it. But to my own fault, you know, when I got out of that I never reflected. Mm-hmm. I never mourned that loss per se, because it is a loss. You know,
of course.
When you got to walk away from someone that doesn't stop shoving cocaine in their arm or up their nose or whatever, it's a loss. You know. And I never, you know, like you said, we don't reflect because all we're thinking about at that point in time is like, I got to get the fuck out of here because I'm going to die. He's going to kill me and I got to be alive. That's all you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And then when the dust settles, when you get older, like you said, I should have taken time at some point and reflected because, you know, none of that shit was right, you know? Yeah. It was all wrong.
Yeah.
But somehow we accepted it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to, I mean, you notice that was a very traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Some maybe even think that, you know, some things that happened to them as just something that happened to them without even knowing that this is trauma. This is PTSD because of this trauma. This is anxiety from this trauma. And, you know, people are 30, 35 years, like even now, like I think of stuff and I'm just like, whoa, like that kind of affected me. That kind of messed me up for a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's nothing I can do about it
now.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do about it. At that, it's happened already. But what I can do is fix my reaction to that trauma. So that way I can, you know, struggle a little bit and fight with it a little bit. And ultimately, I can just say that they're trauma and that's it. And move on from it.
It's crazy. Now you like go back to my kids. I'm like, how bad do you think I fucked you guys up? They'll start laughing like, Mom, he ain't that bad. I'm like, you don't know. You're not 50 yet. You'll be sitting in a therapist chair. Like I am going, what the hell? They're like, Mom, I swear you're not that bad. It's just trauma. Trauma is weird. I'm glad that we're becoming more mentally aware of knowing that things, no, that's not just the way things are. No, you shouldn't be doing that, regardless of whatever it is, whatever the trauma is, you know. No, my mom shouldn't have told me I'm stupid, you know. but I'm being serious, though. I'm being serious, but what are you doing, Mom? You know? I mean, I've never called, I don't think I've ever called my kids stupid. I think I told them to shut up once, and I was heartbroken over that because, you know, my mom would say, "Oh, don't just shut up," you know, because she never wanted to hear anything. But I don't know. I got off subject, whatever I was saying.
Yeah, but being a parent is tough. It's tough. Yeah. You have to watch over this human being that you're raising. And whatever you tell them and whatever you do in front of them will stick for them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, yeah. When you tell them good things, like when you teach them morals and stuff, it'll come back to bite you in the ass when you wouldn't be petty. Like, remember, Mom, when you told me, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I just want to be Susan or Karen. But yeah, it's true, though. But I'm just warning you now. It'll come back to, remember that time, Dad, when you told me, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why we have to watch what we tell them.
Yeah.
You know?
No, go ahead.
No, sorry. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, like, you think about stuff that your parents have told you. And that there's another piece of, would be trauma. Like, even when your parents tell you something. And you don't even know that that's trauma until you, 15 to 30 years later, you're just like, oh man, what my dad told me, what my mom told me was complete BS or complete, like, not even real, but it stuck with me all these years. And I have the choice to either stick with what they've told me or fucking just toss it and create my own unique moral system that works for me.
Yeah. That's what I've done. I broke that cycle. I don't know what this cycle is, but
yeah.
My kids are productive, and matter of fact, Michael works for my son works for a gaming company in Hollywood called Game Fam. There's a fam game. Game Fam? One or the other. He's working for them doing designing games. And Sam, she just got a job with an entertainment company. She's been doing like side gigs for them, but they offered her sort of like a full-time gig with this.
Oh, that's cool.
Entertainment company. Yeah, so but, you know, I'm sure I wrecked them somehow.
Oh, come on, Pam.
Yeah. We're all going to do it.
Hey, you got to give yourself some credit.
We're all guilty of it.
Give yourself some credit.
Well, yeah, I do, but
they're alive,
and we all do it.
They're alive, what, right? Was that? They're alive.
Yeah.
They're it seems from what you've told me over the past 2 hours that they are extremely intelligent. They're extremely aware of themselves. And they're prominent people in society. I mean, based on their jobs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Got to give yourself some credit here.
Well, thank you. Pam. You got to raise productive humans. That's what we have to do as parents. Raise productive, charitable, humanitarian humans.
Yeah.
Because God knows we need more of them.
We need good humans.
I take all those Ukrainian people in. I'm like, get the fuck over here. Come down and come hang out with me.
I'll definitely listen to that podcast.
And, me too. I'd be like, here, you just take it away. I want to take them all in and like, just, that's why I can't watch the news. I'm too much of an empath. I get my feelings all up in it and I'm crying.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, some of that's not good. Like in little spurts, it's good. But sometimes just the news or any type of media it could be garbage to your own psyche.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't even watch TV that much. I watch Netflix, but I don't really watch the news.
Yeah. Like I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Neither certain shows, like certain shows I like to watch, but for the most part, just like to read or hang out, draw, whatever. There isn't anything conducive on that TV that's going to be for my brain, you know.
Except for like documentaries or like series and stuff.
I love documentaries.
Like, oh, so do I.
Yes.
Yeah. What are you reading
and,
now?
Yes. And what was that?
What are you reading currently? What was the last book
I'm
you
read? I'm not reading anything right now, but I don't know. I don't read a lot. I read some.
I have to send you this book. It's called How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. And it's it's all about psychedelics and microdosing,
really?
Macrodosing. It's a awesome book. He takes you through like the first integration of psychedelics into the world and how it impacted the counterculture in the 1960s and that how that impacted the drug war. And it just goes through.
Wow.
It's.
Oh
like,
yeah, I'd be definitely interested in that.
It's like a history lesson. It's like a chemistry classes. It's a good book. Like it's trial and error. He does some of the psychedelics, and he writes about it in the book. Yeah.
Oh, his experiences.
Yeah, his experiences.
Yeah.
This guy. I followed him for years because he wrote a diet book that I read years ago. And then I kept on following him, following all his work. And then in 2020, he comes out with this book about psychedelics. And I was like, holy shit. It took me like a week to read it. It's a fairly thick book. It's like 300, 400 pages. But it was awesome. I just lived in that book for all those weeks. It was amazing. It was great. Michael Pollan.
I think that we need more of those people in this world instead of the pharmaceutical companies. But you know what? I just want to say something about, I don't know where if your work requires everyone to all have their COVID vaccines. My job does. A lot of people's do. And so we've lost like some people because they just outright don't want to like get their their vaccine. And that's fine. But when I asked some of them, like took a poll, they're like, well, we really don't know what's in it. Well, it came out really fast. Well, blah, 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 blah. Well, you got fucking cancer. And they say, look, here's your regimen that we're going to put you on, whatever it could be, chemo, blah, 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 blah. Do you second guess that? Like, if when you're thinking about saving your life, are you sitting there thinking like, wow, what does the chemo have in it? What does the blah, 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 blah? But why is there so much hate for the vaccine then? I mean, I don't know how people died. I've lost like 10, about 11 people that I know within the past 2 years for COVID. Four of them were family. Yeah. Anti-vaxxers. I hate to say that, but they were hardcore Bible thumping, you know, we don't vaccine shit.
They were.
Yeah, they were. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Four family members wiped out just because they just didn't want to. No, God was going to take care of them. And I'm not saying there's not a God, whatever it is that you believe in. But same thing. You've got to help yourself. You've got to help yourself.
Absolutely.
You know? I don't know. I just don't get it. So if you were faced with like where they're going to say like, all right, well, you've got high cholesterol now. We're going to put you on this statin and blah, 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 blah. Do people sit there and like guess it? Like, well, I don't know if I want to take the shot. I don't know if I'm going to take the shot. What?
Yeah.
You're going to die if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, most don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most don't. But did your company have like some like exemption program for that, or was it just was it just get your vaccine or hit the road, Jack?
I don't know if it's hit the road, Jack, but there was no. It was you had to be no, because there was no more working from home. Oh, like, you okay. have to get vaccinated and you got to come into work because we're moving forward in life.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest majority of where that, like, actually happened was in the hospital. Like, my nurse friends and stuff like that, they tell me, like, you would not believe how many people in the medical field don't want to get vaccinated. And I'm like, but that's your job. Like, aren't you there because you believe in the science of medicine and healing and taking care of people?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I said, you know what we should do? Like, if you were like John Doe, you sign a list, John Doe, I don't want my vaccines. You take John Doe's shit, you go fucking send him over to, like, friggin' not Russia. Go send him over to, like, Ukraine and give them the people that that need the vaccines.
See,
because that ain't ever going to stop if you don't get those people vaccinated.
See, there we go. We have a perfect solution for two things. One is yes. sending troops over to Ukraine, and the second is how to deal with anti-vaxxers. So what
yeah.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris need to do is get the list of people that have not got their vaccine and send their asses back to, or send yeah. their asses to Ukraine and go fight the
That's
Russians.
That's what I'm saying. I'll take John Joe's shot. You got people yeah. dying over in, like, Africa and stuff like that don't even have access. Like, and you know what? Look, I know this. I know this because I hear this on the news. But when I was sitting down with my little nail lady and she was talking to me, she's from Vietnam, and she said, you know, I haven't seen my family for 2 years because she can't fly to Vietnam because there's not really, you know, a vaccine over there and people are getting sick. So she can't fly to visit her family. And, yeah, that kind of hit me there for a minute. Cause I'm like, you know what? She said, Pam, they don't have access to this modern medicine.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm like, man, cause you don't think, like, you know, this exists.
Right.
But sometimes you need to, like, hear it from someone and, like, have it be put in perspective, like, shit.
Yeah.
You know, give it to the Vietnam people then. You know, whoever needs the vaccine and whoever doesn't want to do it, then you give them that vaccine and let the circle of life weed it out.
We should build these, like, you know, camps. Or in like huge dorm rooms for people that don't want to take the vaccine and just
yeah.
get them all on a train, give them numbers.
A concentration camp?
And throw them, yeah, put them at a, you know, summer camp.
Yeah, a summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a lot better. Kind of like how they used to put all the, yeah, well, yeah. And just let them, whatever.
Give them some Kool-Aid.
Give them some Kool-Aid. Make sure you get them some new Nikes. Put on her feet. Oh, God, that guy was a freak. Oh. Yo, I gotta go to bed.
Yes, Pam, I was actually gonna, close out. Pam.
I know, it's like midnight.
Pam,
I'm like fucking Cinderella.
Pam, thanks for hanging out with me.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you for having me back on. We will do this again.
Tell everybody where we can listen to your podcast, your show on YouTube.
You can listen to my podcast on YouTube at It's Miller Time. And if not, you can find me on Instagram as well. Underneath Miller Time, I think it's like -65, and you can find my link in there. Or you can just go listen to my pal Gil, and you can get it through him.
There we go. I'm going to put the links to all of what Pam was talking about right now. I will put it down in the show description. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and follow MindBuzz Media and Miller Time on YouTube, and catch us on Spotify.
Woo woo.
Pam, This was awesome. Thanks.
You too. Thank you for having me again.
We got to do this again. Quarterly. Every other
Yeah,
two
we
weeks.
Should. Let's do it, man. I'll see you in a few weeks then.
Right. This was another one. Thanks a lot for everybody for tuning in. And I'll catch you on the next one.
The Mind Buzz.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Buzz podcast. Subscribe to the Mind Buzz YouTube channel and watch full podcast episodes. Keep up with the hosts, guests, and upcoming events by following the Mind Buzz on Instagram @TheMindBuzz. See you on the next one.